Shall we open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2? We'll continue our study. And we'll pick it up in verse 6, but let's read chapter 2, verse 1 that we looked at last time. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Ray, would you open us in prayer? Now, last time we saw there's a diligent seeking of wisdom to obtain wisdom. And now we're seeing that the Lord gives wisdom. And now verse 5, we saw that then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Wisdom leads to that. Wisdom actually begins there and it ends there. The fear of the Lord and then the knowledge of God, which are related. And we saw that it's a diligent pursuit. If we're going to obtain wisdom, a person has to take it seriously if they're going to obtain this treasure of wisdom. Now, in verse 6, where it says, the Lord giveth wisdom, I'd like to take a little introductory study. This isn't just on this context, but notice here in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, where it says, the Lord giveth wisdom. Now, what are the requirements that God would have for us to obtain wisdom? I want to touch on that. Some we've already seen, some we will see. But there are some conditions in order to receive this wisdom from God. Now let's go back to chapter 1, verse 7. Here's the beginning of it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom instruction. So a reverential trust is the very beginning, and we know that that involves salvation itself. And let's go to chapter 9, verse 10 of Proverbs. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the fear of the Lord, a reverential trust, actually enters into a relationship with the Lord, which is salvation. And of course, we grow in that knowledge of the Lord, and as we grow in wisdom, we're going to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians 2. But that's the foundation of it all, the fear of the Lord. We did a study just on that and what that entails. And then we saw last time a diligent seeking of wisdom. In other words, a person may be saved, but not seek the Lord as they ought, where there's going to be a lack of wisdom. Be a general wisdom of the knowledge of God, but a lack thereof. And let's go to Proverbs 8:34 with this thought of the regular devotional life, which is what this requires. We never obtain. We don't arrive. In 8:34 says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Now, wisdom is personified speaking here. And so there's a daily waiting, isn't there? We daily wait upon God, realizing we need His wisdom. Now remember, wisdom is knowledge applied. And so it's not just knowledge, but it's how to live. And so daily we need to wait upon God that He would direct our paths. Now let's go to Proverbs 3. Here's another requirement. This is a very basic one, very important one. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord. Hebrews, lean on the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So lean on the Lord. And now that has the thought that we don't have the wisdom, and God does, and so we're trusting his wisdom to be higher than our viewpoint, and therefore we're acknowledging him, our need of him. So trust in the Lord, and that's a passage we can live by. We walk by faith, not by sight, with faith in a God who has all wisdom. He sees the end from the beginning. His understanding is infinite. We can't begin to grasp the depth of his wisdom. So there's a trust like a child here, where we know that he knows better and he has an infinite wisdom. And then with this, notice the next verse, chapter 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, there's a self-distrust here. And this is especially true not just because of our finiteness, but because of our fallen nature. And Proverbs 14:12 goes hand in hand with this. This would especially apply to the unsaved, but there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But there is a way, right? There is a reasoning of the fallen nature of man. And so it's good to have a self-distrust, not to be wise in our own eyes. Proverbs 26:12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. In other words, no, I don't need the wisdom of God. Or, and now even a Christian can fall into it. I know the Bible. Well, no, we don't know anything as we ought. And so if we become unteachable, really, is what that is, to be wise in our own eyes, where we aren't open to what God has to say in his book of wisdom, that's where we are limited. Let's go to Proverbs 9:9 on this. I've related that story before about Pastor Black when he was, I think he was about 70 years old, where he had an accident and broke both his heels, and was very open about how he felt God was putting him on his back to seek the Lord. But the point being, he was teachable still as an older man. He lived another 30-some years. But he continued to grow as a result of that teachableness. In Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So there's always higher ground, isn't there? Now, Paul knew the Lord, but he said that I may know him. That was his goal. Moses knew God, but show me thy glory. And so there's a progression there that we need to be forgetting those things which are behind, as Paul said, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You have my focus on Christ. There's no flaw in him, and he is the goal, right? He is wisdom. Now, going back to Proverbs 3:7, another thought related, and it's important, and definitely a requirement to obtain wisdom. Depart from evil, 3:7b. There's a departure from evil. Now, we saw that that is also characteristic of the fear of the Lord. But it is sin that keeps people from wisdom, right? It's sin that keeps people from the book, or the book will keep them from sin. And so to hold to sin, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, then it stops us in the progression towards wisdom. So there must be a departure there. Confessing, forsaking. And then let's go to Proverbs 3:11. Of course, we'll look at these things in more detail when we come here. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now there's an openness to chastening to God, like a father to a son. And we know God, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Wisdom receives that. God doesn't just teach us through the book, right? He teaches us through life. And so it's good to be open to whatever God brings, because all things work together for good to them that love God, them that are the called according to his purpose. Now, he may speak through men. Now let's go to Proverbs 13:10. 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And so it's good to be well-advised. Now, Proverbs 17:10, I'm not sure if that relates to the chastening there, but it's a good verse. 17:10. The reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Now, a wise man, remember, he doesn't trust himself. He trusts the Lord. He realizes the transcendence of God's wisdom versus his limited viewpoint. And he realizes he is wrong sometimes. So a reproof enters. It goes deep there because he wants to be right with God. A fool, he never does admit he's wrong. 100 stripes, that doesn't affect him much. So it's good to be open to all God does. And then Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. There's a price to pay. And there's a valuing of wisdom enough to pay the price. There will be other things of necessity that will have to be put aside. You know, there's the good, the better, and the best. I think Stambaugh used to have that, right? Who would want to buy what's just the good? There's the good, the better, and the best. And the best is wisdom. So there might be things that there's nothing wrong with it, but if we really want wisdom, or we would set aside that we could have time with the Lord, that we could have time in prayer, time in the Word, that we could have a concentrated focus on the Lord in our lives, that we would be undistracted and not be entangled and with the cares of riches and the cares of this life, and as the scriptures talk about the seed becoming unfruitful. So there's a price to pay if we're going to have the treasure of wisdom. So these are some requirements, to prerequisite, you might say, in order to have wisdom. Now, that's related to what we're looking at here in Proverbs chapter 2 in verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Now, he does give it, though based on those conditions, one of which is the previous context of the diligent seeking of wisdom. For the Lord giveth wisdom. So we don't have to have an idea, well, I'm looking for wisdom, but I just don't seem to find it. Well, it's not God's fault, because God gives wisdom, right? He does have conditions, though, but he is ready to give wisdom. Let's go to James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So, but God gives wisdom. And so we can trust him that way, and that's the issue there, not to waver on that. You know, trust implies something about God, that maybe he isn't good, maybe he isn't faithful, maybe he doesn't love me, he's not giving me wisdom. Well, God gives wisdom, and that's the point, and faith is what's emphasized here for the obtaining of it. Now let's go back to 1 Kings 3. This is a passage applying to Solomon. Remember the prerequisites, though, in order to obtain the wisdom, and how the self-distrust, the trust in the Lord, not being wise in our own eyes, and so forth. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12, and sometimes God may give wisdom. Maybe we don't want it. Maybe we have our way. Well, then we're not going to be open to what God has. In 1 Kings 3, his way is always higher. 1 Kings 3:12, behold, I have done according to thy words. This is answer to Solomon's prayer for wisdom. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. So God answered his prayer. God gave him wisdom, discernment between good and evil, as he asked to be able to judge the people. Back in verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And so God gives wisdom. and it's available. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 9, where you have one of those invitations from God to obtain wisdom. You have that in Proverbs. This is one of those places where, again, wisdom is personified. 9:1, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. And he goes on. And so wisdom appeals and invites, and it is available. So the Lord gives wisdom. Okay, let's go back and make a little more headway here. In chapter 2, verse 6. Now let me say one thing, though. Well, the next section brings it out. He says, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now this is wisdom of God. And this is wisdom that's found in his word. This is what's so important to see here. And how the word of God is the primary source of wisdom. And there is a transcendence again in God's wisdom versus man's. Let's go to Job 22:22 on this thought of out of his mouth comes wisdom. You know, in a way, it's a simple thing. You get it from the book, right? God's word is the source of the wisdom. Job 22:22. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. We can never get enough of it. And as it enters into the heart, there's where wisdom enters into the life. Let's go to Proverbs 7:25. Proverbs 7:25. I don't know if that's the passage I want. 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. That is it. And so attend to the words. That takes some time. That takes some diligent study, like we saw last time. And Mary hath chosen that one needful part, Jesus says, shall not be taken from her. That was to sit at Jesus' feet to hear his word. You got to choose it to obtain it, right? And we could all say, I'm too busy. And if we let things come in and interfere, we won't get the time. But if it's a priority, it won't be taken from us. God will make sure that we have it. And so it's a matter of doing it, right? It's a matter of prioritizing, but it's a matter of get time in the Word. And as we do, we'll see the blessing of it, the wisdom that's given from that. Now, it's by God's Word, and let me ask you, what's another source of wisdom? Or this is in connection with the Word. Anybody? How does he do it? Through the Word. By his Spirit, right? He does it by his Spirit. And we've seen this, but let's look at it again. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Because you can read the Bible and not necessarily receive wisdom from it. So we have to read the Bible by faith and prayerfully and with the control of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It reminds me of in David Brainerd's commentary how he met a man in a village that didn't have any seminary training like David Brainerd did. He studied with Jonathan Edwards. He was a missionary to the Indians in America, but he was very well educated in the Word. Well, he met this man that lived out in this country village, and he was amazed at the knowledge of the Scriptures that he had. And he asked him, well, how did you obtain this? And he said, reading the Bible here on my knees prayerfully. And so a person can have it if they're yielded to God and holy, and the Holy Spirit is governing them. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, let me read on a little bit, because it applies. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So an unsaved person can't understand the book. And you've heard people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, maybe they're not saved. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? He may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So, and then you have a third category. I won't read it, but chapter 3. That's the carnal Christian. And there's there also a certain limitation in understanding the word. But the optimum, right, is to be spiritual, where the Holy Spirit is governing our heart and our mind. He'll give us a hunger for the word and understanding in it. If we also approach it prayerfully, open mine eyes, like David said, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law, or teach me thy ways, show me thy paths. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs 2. So God gives wisdom through his word. He gives wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now this word understanding is very specific here. And this word means insight. And we've seen it already back in chapter 1, verse 2. We saw there's actually 14 different words for wisdom or knowledge or understanding in this first chapter. But chapter 1, verse 2 says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And that chapter 2, verse 2 also, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. It means discernment. And we just read it in 1 Kings 3:9, where Solomon prayed for discernment between good and evil. Paul prayed the Philippians would have love with judgment. It means discernment. Philippians 1:9. So there is a discernment, isn't there, where we can tell the difference. This is right. This is wrong. You know, this is. Let's go to Hebrews 5:14. Here's a good passage on this. And here we see the discernment does come from the word, and that's the point in our passage. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and discernment. In Hebrews 5, let me read the context, verse 11, of whom Christ, typified by Melchizedek, an eternal one, at least no recorded beginning and ending of days, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So there's a mature Christian in the word, feeding on the meat of the word, who is Christ. And then the result is discernment, to be able to detect between good and evil. And that's a major aspect of wisdom, isn't it? Where we can discern. Okay, let's go back in Proverbs. So God gives wisdom. He gives it through his word, and it will result in discernment. Now going on in chapter 2, we have two primary points in these next few verses. One of them is the protection that wisdom affords. The other is the righteous path, or the upright path in which wisdom will lead. And they go together, because there is protection in the path of righteousness. Now we know wisdom is knowledge applied. So as God gives wisdom, and its wisdom is applied, we're going to walk in a righteous path, right? And in that righteous path, there is divine protection. And it really involves, I suppose you could call it, spiritual laws. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. So if we go contrary to wisdom, just like you go contrary to the laws of nature, you're going to have the consequences. And But if we walk in wisdom, we'll have the consequences of that. And it's a divine protection. So now notice in verse 7, he says, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Now the thought of laying up here is it's laid up, it's treasured up. And it's very similar to Matthew 6, laying up treasure in heaven. And the picture is that God is laying up treasure here of wisdom for the righteous. And then we see the protection that comes from that. Now, wisdom is connected with character. You notice this. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. And there's a walking in the knowledge and understanding that we saw back in verse 6. If we really have understanding, and it's not just theory, then it's going to translate into the life, right? And that's the challenge. That's always the challenge. It's not just the hearing, but it's the doing, right? James, he's very practical in some respects. James would be a parallel book of the New Testament with Proverbs. James was a wise man. And so God would have us to be walking in it. And now there's a couple of thoughts here. Actually, a willingness to walk in it is a prerequisite to knowing the truth. And then a walking in it is the result of receiving the truth. You may know the passage in John 7:17, he that has a deep-rooted determination, God's will to practice, he shall know the doctrine. So God's not going to, he doesn't cast his pearls before swine, right? It's a person who wants it and wants to walk in it. And there's also a principle, to him that hath, more should be given. To him that hath not, even that which he seemeth to hath should be taken away. And so it's a prerequisite, but it's also that which gives progression in wisdom. If we live up to the light that God gives us, God's going to give us more light. And that's another spiritual law or principle. So God, as he gives wisdom, he's going to give it for the righteous. He's going to give it for those who are willing to do it, those who are doing it. And it's progressive, isn't it? So God always leads in the path of righteousness. You know, there's some wacko religious, quote-unquote, people out there in the name of their religion. And it's more like a hate doctrine, right? And it's not righteous at all. It's not according to God's ways. Well, it's not the wisdom that comes from above. Let's go to the book of James. And James deals with this. In 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So there's real wisdom. It's always going to be seen in the life. And there's the graces of God. Now, in that path of righteousness, there's a reward. Let's go back in Proverbs 2, 7b. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So now you have a similar thought of the righteous, and it's a walking uprightly. And let me give you Kyle and Dielich's definition on that, of uprightly. Whole, full submission, moral faultlessness, which chooses God with the whole heart and seeks good without exception. A whole, full submission, moral faultlessness, which chooses God with the whole heart and seeks good without exception. Now that definition is probably based upon a summation of how the word is used in the Old Testament. So, but a person who's upright is a godly person. That's a person who, there, it's not some crooked path, you know. It's a straight path they're living in. And there's a blamelessness there. Let's go to Proverbs 10:9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. And that's a similar thought here. He is a buckler. The Lord is. Wisdom is. He is wisdom personified. He's a shield. The Hebrew is to cover. He covers those who walk uprightly. Divine protection. Let's compare some passages. Psalm 18, verse 30. You have it in several places. 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? Psalm 84:11. A familiar one. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So there you have the thought of favor and protection for those who walk uprightly. And one more, Psalm 115:9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And that's an oft-repeated phrase. So who else can give protection but God? And how else can we have protection except to be walking uprightly before him? And so wisdom sees that. And so there's a divine protection in that path. Okay, let's go back in Proverbs. So it's actually, when you think about these promises, and we're going to see a whole lot of them in Proverbs, it's quite exciting because it's absolutely true. And if it is fulfilled in the life, the reward will be there, most definitely. Okay, let's go on to chapter 2, verse 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Now, it's an extension of that same thought. There is safety in the path of justice, and which is revealed by the wisdom of God's word. And, of course, God's wisdom, it will be a path of justice. And he'll keep us in that path. He'll preserve us. It means he'll guard us. He'll guard the way of his saints. And you have many examples of that in the Bible. You know, like Daniel, who definitely was a wise man walking in the fear of the Lord with the knowledge of God. And it didn't matter if they threw him down into a lion's pit because he was walking in wisdom, or his three friends. You know, it didn't matter if they threw him into the burning fiery furnace heated seven times. There was a divine protection that was there. And then you might say, well, what about those who were thrown to the lions? Well, I'd say there's a divine protection in another way, wouldn't you? Where my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Definitely it was divine protection for a man to sing praises to God while burning at the stake to give glory to him as a martyr. Either way, God delivers from the trial or through the trial, he'll give divine protection. And, you know, the protection, the main protection God gives is from evil, is from sinning against him. And that's the thought in Psalm 121. Let's go there. You do have, this is something of a traveler's psalm, I think. One, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. So it's more than a physical protection. It's a spiritual protection. It's like Paul, at the end of his life, he said, all men forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. And he shall deliver me out of the mouth of the lion and preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. In other words, and he was martyred, and he knew he was going to be, but he was preserved from evil, and he was faithful in his witness for Jesus Christ, and so he'd have an abundant entry. Now, on this thought of preserving, let's go to Proverbs chapter 12, 28. You have other examples, though. Joseph, he was righteous. God preserved him through all his hardships, preserved him spiritually. And Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the path thereof there is no death. And one more here, Isaiah 33, 14. You know, what's lacking today is faith and the fear of God where this isn't realized, because it's just as true now as it was then. And Isaiah 33:14, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously, he that speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. So again, it's a promise. If you read Pilgrim's Progress, you recall how Christian, in his pilgrimage, sometimes he would stop and he'd open his scroll, you know, which was the Word of God, and he'd be refreshed by it. But at other times, he's at a crossroads, which way to go, and God would direct his path, and there was safety in that. But if he neglected that, and he went his own way, like Bypath Meadow in the book, and because the way to the Celestial City got kind of rocky and hard, so here's a parallel path that seemed to be smoother. Let's jump over the fence and go. But before they knew it, it goes off into, there was a big storm, and giant despair got a hold of him and his friend Faithful and put him into a doubting castle, and it was a rough time until they got back on track. And so it's their safety, isn't there, in the metaphor there, and going God's way according to His Word, His Book of Wisdom. Okay, let's go back in Proverbs. So we need that. We need protection, and it'll be found in the path of justice for the, and in the way of His Word. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Now, again, you have this word to understand, which means to discern. And you notice there's knowledge, there's discernment that is given as a person is walking in the path of righteousness and justice. So there's not just the reward of divine protection, but there's enlightenment in the path. And you know that it's true by experience, isn't it? If you walk according to God's Word in whatever respect, that's when you know the truth that you're walking in. And you have an understanding. So it's a progressive thing, isn't it? And that's it. So in walking in that path, there's going to be more light. And again, it is that principle. It's in Matthew 25, I believe. To him that hath, more shall be given. To him that hath not, even that which he seemeth to have, that'll be taken away. So if we have light from God, may we walk in that light. As we do, God's going to give us more light. And in that path of walking in it, though, we're going to have understanding. And so there's an understanding of righteousness, judgment, or justice, equity, or uprightness is the word. Yea, every good path, or every good way. So now God's Word will lead in this. And it all goes back to that. Wisdom is based on divine revelation. It's based on His Word, because it's God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. You know, it says, this is what Satan is attacking, if I can go back to that thought. That there's other sources of wisdom, and that you can trust what men say and how they philosophize and what their reasoning is. And in a subtle way, it gets away from the Bible. I'll give you a specific example. I hate to get so specific, but I will anyway. You've heard of James Dobson, Focus on the Family? Well, I searched that out one time because there was somebody in my church that got involved in that. And I found out there's a use of human psychology. Well, some of you, if you were in college, you studied human psychology, Freudianism and all that. Now, I'm not saying it goes that far, but beware of human psychology and reasoning that isn't according to the Bible. And that's one example. I'm not saying there isn't good there, or there isn't faith, there's good things, but it's a subtle thing. We used to get the daily bread. And then I kept looking at these articles, and it had human psychology reasoning, not according to the Bible. That's why we switched to the Days of Praise. I always did like the illustrations in the daily breads, though, and the format. But then I thought, I'll reconsider. And I picked it up. The first one I looked at, it was the same thing. And so it's we want to go by God's word, right? There's a wisdom. It's found in the book. And we need to be able to discern, okay, is this God's wisdom or is this man's wisdom? And you know how Satan works? Part truth. And he'll try to infiltrate. And he'll try to infiltrate the church. And he tries to get man away from the Bible. Hath God said? He's still trying to do that, hammering against the word of God. And so it's through the word that we'll get this wisdom. But then getting back to this passage, it is through the application of the word and the walking in righteousness that we're going to understand righteousness. Does that make any sense? It's, in other words, it's like the in the jobs that I had, you have the older engineer who had a lot of experience in the field too, and he's already designed lots of different kinds of equipment, and so he's been in it with experience. Where are you going to trust him more, right? It's the same way with the Christianity. If we study the Bible and then we're doing the Bible and over a period of time we're learning to walk according to the Bible, that's where there's wisdom, right? It's with experience. That's what he's saying. There's the walk. There's the application. Then you'll understand. You'll discern righteousness, justice, uprightness, every good way. And it's very practical. And so there's that thought of discernment, as we already saw in Hebrews 5:14, to discern between good and evil. So right conduct is the fruit of obtaining wisdom, but right conduct, it's going to gain insight. It's going to go deeper. And I like what one, I think it's Ironside, that said this. It's not just holding the truth, but it's being held by the truth that we need. In other words, it's one thing to, and a lot of fundamentalists, conservatives will say, hold to the truth. You don't want to compromise the truth. Well, that's good. But does the truth hold us? You know, that's better. In other words, does it have a grip on us? Is that governing our lives? Where it's translated into conviction, you know, and it's experience. Well, in conclusion, I'm going to just take it that far. God gives wisdom. And he gives it through his word. And he gives it by his spirit. And he's going to give it, as we saw in those requirements listed in Proverbs, with the fear of the Lord, a diligent seeking, faith, self-distrust, departure from evil, opening to God's, being open to God's chastening, which, by the way, is sometimes translated instruction, and then valuing it. So, but God gives it. And as we meet the requirements, and we can trust that he'll give it. He gives liberally and upbraideth not. But it's we've got to come the right way in faith and so forth. And then we see in wisdom, he leads in the path of righteousness. So there's a goal here for us. There's a goal to meet the requirements that we could obtain. And it's good, isn't it, to do a self-assessment on that. Am I doing everything that's necessary that wisdom could really enter in? So that's the first thing, to obtain that. But then there's the walking in it. Now there's where wisdom is going to progress. And are we applying what we know? Are we putting into practice what we see in this book? And that's not just the book of Proverbs, right? It's the whole Bible. That's really wisdom. It's God's word. And it's a challenge. There's the challenge. Now, there is the challenge of study to show thyself approved, of workman that needeth not to be ashamed, approved unto God, of workman. But then there's the challenge of applying. And every day, there's the big challenge in any given situation. And then, and you know, it's not all smooth sailing. It's like, it's not that you can read a textbook and this is what your day is going to be like. There's the test that comes here, and then there's the test that comes there. That's the way it is in life, isn't it? And the application, can we apply wisdom then in those unexpected things and decisions to be made and so forth? There's the challenge. And so as we do, there'll be a progression in the wisdom. And God will give us more wisdom as we apply it. And then we have, and it's a wonderful thing, divine protection in it. So it is true. Narrow is the path that leads unto life. It is true, isn't it? And it's not to say that that's human merit. That's not the point. But it is a straight path. isn't it, that God leads on. And it's not the loose Christianity that's advocated in many circles that's advocated by the Bible, or certainly not by the Book of Wisdom. We'll see it in the Book of Proverbs. He touches on about everything. So, not unsaved person, they need salvation before they can even enter into it, right? The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned, and so he needs to be born again. And the issue there is not to preach to him about what's right and wrong, but to preach to him the cross, right? Because that's when the light comes on, where he can be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. And then, through the Holy Spirit, he has the capacity to learn wisdom. But for us, as Christians, the challenge is to walk spiritually, right? To be governed by this Holy Spirit. Because there is a carnal blindness that can hinder wisdom's entrance. And the sin nature doesn't get any better. And Ephesians 4:18 talks about that carnal blindness. Now that's the unsaved there. But we know it's so. The carnal man, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul went on to say they were dull of hearing and they weren't able to hear the Bible because they're carnal. They're sin. Sin's held to the Bible is a pretty boring book. As sin is held to, the thought of walking with God doesn't seem to have much attraction. But as sin is forsaken, then you realize, whoa, this is the best thing there is. And this is going to have reward now and in eternity. And besides, this is the truth. And we're deceived in the path of sin. And it's, we remember what we saw, the sinner's held by the cords of his sin in the book of 2 Peter. And so it's quite an exciting venture that we have in this walk of faith, a walk in seeking to walk in wisdom with God, and it'll have rewards long term. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for the wisdom that's in Thy Word. We thank Thee for the divine protection that's afforded by wisdom. We thank Thee for the Holy Spirit to guide us, open our eyes, take us to higher ground. Help us, Father, to not just understand it, but to do it. We pray for grace that way. Take us to a deeper relationship with Thee, and walk in Thy will in this life. We thank Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.